We read God's word in Psalm 119, beginning at verse 89. We'll read three sections, verses 89 through 112. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me. For I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. This far we read God's word. Our text is made up of verses 99 and 100. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Beloved saints in Jesus Christ, it takes a spiritually strong man and woman to read and sing the 119th Psalm. You see how often the psalmist says, I? And you see how often in saying I, he says, I have kept thy precepts and I love thy law. And when you and I read it and when we sing it, we mayn't just distance ourselves from him and say, oh, he did that. What a great man he was. But I'm not like that. When you and I sing and read the psalm, we must make his I become us. And we must say, I love thy law. I love it more than anything else. I'll suffer for it. If the wicked scoff at me, rebuke me for it, I will persevere in obedience. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you? Can you? By grace, of course, because none of us can apart from grace. The psalmist could not apart from grace. But if you or I are living in sin, we cannot. Then we make a mockery of the law, of the word rather, of the psalm, when we sing it and when we read it. Tonight, If we're going to apply the passage that we take as our text to ourselves, we have to be ready to say the psalmist speaks the way I, by grace, speak. And then there is one obstacle, many, of course, but one in particular that even the psalmist himself faced, something standing in the way of his saying how greatly he loved that law as a younger man, was the rebuke, the reproaches of the wicked. And he speaks of that throughout the psalm. In the passage that we read, he says it in verse 95, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies." He says it again in 109 and 110, "My soul is continually in my hand." He means that at any moment he realizes the wicked could kill him, and the wicked have laid a snare for me. You see, when men come to you and to me and say, "You don't really believe what's in the Word of God, do you? You aren't really going to live in accordance with the law of God, are you?" That's silliness, that's foolishness, that's absurd, that's irrelevant. Then the old man in you and me says sometimes, "Oh, I guess I'd better not keep the law then. Or if I do, I'd better do it quietly. I'd better not let people see what I'm doing. It brings reproach on me." And the psalmist at one time admits he didn't keep that law. The reproaches of the wicked, they affected him. But now by grace, restored from his afflictions, he says, "Let them scoff. I'm going to keep thy law." And in the text, he gives the reason why. He will keep God's law, regardless of what men say, think, do, or teach, because he has more understanding than all his teachers and understands more than the ancients. Exactly in the way of law keeping, he has come to understand more than his teachers. I call your attention to that tonight under the theme, "More Understanding Than My Teachers." Notice first the meaning, second the reason, and thirdly the confession. Understanding is one of the greatest needs of the child of God. I laid the groundwork for what I'm going to say at the beginning of this first point last week when I taught you what wisdom was. And if you remember, wisdom begins with knowledge, and then to that knowledge is added understanding, and then wisdom is the directing of that knowledge and understanding to the right purpose, to the glory of God, and to a life of obedience to the law of God. Now tonight we're going to focus on understanding. What the psalmist is not merely saying is that he has more facts in his head, that he has more knowledge than his teachers. And I'm going to show why that's relevant a little later in the sermon tonight. But for the moment, he's saying that though he has knowledge, because you have no understanding without knowledge, though he has knowledge, he can discern the meaning of facts. He can say there is a God, fact number one, and he understands what it means. It means that that God is the only true God to be worshipped and to be served. He can say there is a creation, fact number two, and he understands what it means. The glory of God is made known and revealed in creation around. He can say there is a Jesus Christ, fact number three, but it's not just a historical fact. One day a man named Jesus lived on the earth. He has understanding, and with that understanding, he's able to say that that Jesus Christ is his Savior and his Lord, so that all of his life is to be lived in the service of Jesus Christ. Understanding is the ability to interpret and analyze facts, knowledge, correctly. What we teach our children is not merely facts, but understanding. What our children are taught in the Christian day schools must not merely be facts, but also understanding. In other words, we desire that our teachers not just impart the knowledge of history and the knowledge of geography and the knowledge of science and even the knowledge of the Bible, but we desire that our teachers, and we as parents also do the same in the home, tell our children what the facts mean and why they matter for the life of the child of God. When we do that, we are imparting understanding. The scriptures indicate that that's what's at the very heart of the text. That's the main concept in the text. In the two words, in verse 99, have understanding, and in 100, I understand. They're the same word in the English language. In the Hebrew language, though, they're two different words. The word in verse 99 means that I can look at something, and then I have insight into it. I see more than the bare surface. I look into, I look through, I understand it. And the word translated understand in verse 100 means that with this understanding, I can distinguish right from wrong. Let me give an example. We teach our children that 2 + 2 = 4. That's a bare fact. And they might say, it does not matter to me. It makes no difference to my life. But when they go to the store and they buy two things, each of which cost $2, then they understand that 2 + 2 = 4. They understand, they perceive, they sense the use of the tidbits of information. And should the clerk at the store say that will be $5, then understanding in a person enables him to say to that clerk, that cannot be, skip the sales tax matter. 2 + 2 = 4. You can't charge me 5. I have understanding. And I understand that you don't, and you're trying to swindle me. That's the point of understand in verse 100. I am able to distinguish what's true from what's false. So the child of God with this understanding not only says, I know about God, I know about Christ, but is able to say that therefore, on the basis of this knowledge, I reject any wrong religion and form of religion. I reject any savior, attempted savior, pretended savior, who is not a savior. I reject any view of man, of the world, that does not accord with Scripture. I understand. And now, to show why this matters to the child of God even more, understanding points us ultimately to Jesus Christ. I said that already in saying that I understand that Jesus of Nazareth is my Lord and my Savior. But let's understand that understanding of Christ doesn't limit itself to the facts of the history of the life of Christ, but that even my understanding of 2 + 2 = 4 says something about the infiniteness, math anyway, more generally, something about the infiniteness of the love of Jesus Christ, the constancy of that love, because 2 + 2 will always be 4, as it's shown in Jesus Christ. Math means to point me to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Science, that tells me about the origins of the world and the way that God in His providence upholds the world, must point me to Jesus Christ as the reason why and the goal of all things. Why does God continue to uphold all things? With a view to the coming of Jesus Christ again in the last day. History is not just a bare collection of events, dates, and names, but as a record of how Jesus Christ in His providence upholds and governs all things. One who has understanding works to relate everything he knows or she knows to Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. I don't always do that consciously. I forget. So do you. And so we have the Word of God before us this evening. And the psalmist says, I. And you and I say, then also must I, tomorrow at school, tomorrow at my job, work to relate everything I know to my Savior and my service of Him. There's another way in which this word understanding points us to Jesus Christ, though, and that is because you and I understand immediately, I don't have this gift by nature. I need understanding. If I'm going to live to the glory of God in the midst of this world, above all else, I need this understanding and then the wisdom also that is added to it. But I don't have this by nature. I am a fool. By nature, it's amazing that I can even say I know, that there are bare facts that I can assimilate. That too is a gift of God, that a human has a brain, and that brain can receive information and make some sense of it in an earthly way. That's a gift of God. Now that I can take that information and relate it to Jesus Christ, by nature I am a fool. By nature, Adam lost that gift when he fell into sin and passed on to you and to me spiritually the inability to understand a single thing from the viewpoint of Jehovah God, of His will, of His glory, and of Jesus Christ. So you have it. I have it. What a gift of the grace of God, regenerating, renewing, giving us an intellect, a renewed understanding of Him and of His will. Seeing that understanding points us to our Lord and Savior, enables us to see how it was a grief to the psalmist that he said in the text, I have more understanding than all my teachers, and I understand more than the ancients. When he uses the word more, he is not referring to a quantity. He's not saying, I know more facts than my teacher knows. I'm a teacher, and there are subjects that I teach my students in which I clearly know more than they, such as Greek grammar on day one. And then there are subjects where some of my students might know as much as I, if you mean bare facts. Church history? Who can ever know everything about it? And there are some 20-year-old 24-year-old students that know church history. They've lived, they love it, they've dug into it already, and they might quantitatively, as regards bare numbers, know more than I do. The psalmist is not saying, I'm more intellectual, I know more things, but he's speaking qualitatively, which is to say, I have a better understanding. The kind of understanding that I have is superior to what my teachers have. Now, for three reasons, that's a sad reality that the psalmist acknowledges. Reason number one is that a teacher, or his teachers specifically, are teachers in the covenant. The psalmist didn't go to Egypt for his education. He didn't go to the Philistines. The psalmist went to the temple and synagogue schools. Those who were his teachers and the ancients were fellow members of the covenant. And yet he could say of some who were older than he that he understood more. There's something wrong there. In the second place, they are ancients, he says, underscoring that they're older than he, and as older, ought not just to have gained more understanding by the course of their experience, but to be more godly. Really, what he's saying when he says, I have more understanding, is they have knowledge, but they're not showing in how they live that they understand it. I am godly. They are not as godly, and some of them are not godly. They should be. They're teachers in the covenant, and they're older, but they aren't. I have more understanding than they. And thirdly, that's a sad thing to say, because the very calling of a teacher is not just to impart facts, but to impart understanding. as a parent. It isn't enough for me to say to my child, you may not do this, and when I say do this, you will be on and do it quickly. But I must tell him the why. And the real why comes down again to, you, my child, serve Jesus Christ. And I wish you would see, my child, that what I'm telling you to do, what I'm telling you not to do, is to enable you better to serve Jesus Christ. As a parent, we're to impart understanding. As day school teachers, I said already, we expect that of our children. The world understands that. The world understands that's the calling of a teacher to impart understanding. And so in the public schools, and I mean that whether it's elementary or secondary or even the universities, what is imparted is a knowledge of facts. Sometimes the facts themselves are skewed, and especially a spin on the facts which amounts to the world's understanding. Now, coming back to the third reason why this is a grief for the psalmist to say is the fact that teachers, especially in the covenant, are called to impart understanding that leads to godliness. And the psalmist says, but I have more, qualitatively more than they. It means that he lived and he wrote in a time in which things were not well in Israel. We do not know who the psalmist was. We do not know exactly when he wrote. And commentators will differ on their opinions. Some put him as early as the time of David. Others as late as the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But we don't know for sure. And it doesn't matter when. The fact is that within the covenant, the sphere of the covenant, Israel, were those who were teaching, but themselves not regarding the law of God. Either they were completely ungodly, or they were merely interested in imparting the facts and not conveying why the facts mattered. The psalmist recognizes that, and he says, I understand more than they. This might be a factor why, he acknowledged in verse 67, he went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Why does a young man go astray? There are the wicked, I said that in my introduction, who are reproaching him for his godliness. That might be a factor. Here might be another. My teachers never taught me to understand. What the psalmist says, and what's true of him in his day, was true of Jesus Christ in his as well. You see that especially in the young man Jesus at the age 12 in the temple, asking and answering questions. For the moment, realize that he was asking questions of and answering the questions of the rabbis, the scholars, the educated intellectuals of the day in Judaism, in the sphere of the covenant. And as he asked them questions, and as he answered their questions, he showed he had an understanding of the Old Testament and of how the Old Testament pointed to him. And they didn't understand that so well. Well, they knew there was a coming Messiah, earthly Messiah probably, a mere human probably, someone who would make the Jews a great people again, probably, deliver them from the rule of the Romans, probably, but Jesus has an understanding of the Old Testament that they did not have. Now, you and I are saying, at times, I have more understanding than all my teachers. I want to apply that to us in two ways. In the first place, every one of us must say that, can, and must. When we compare the understanding that we have by grace with what the world would give us. So, are you a college student? or if not a college student, you're a professional in some area, and the world has its view on how to do business and why your business matters. And you say, the world's view is not correct. The world's view is that this business matters and how to do business matters to get money more, 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 more. That's not it. I have more understanding than my teachers, than those who would try to form my opinions and my motives, because I understand that my business and my work is to the glory of God. And the young person goes to college. You're going to get taught non-facts, you understand, evolution and all the rest. When you go to college, young people, don't think that you are about to learn amazing truths that you have never learned before. Not if your parents taught you, not if your Christian school teachers taught you from the Word of God, because at college you are going to be taught the world's wisdom. And so all you've learned this past year, you come home and say, I learned more facts, which I need to know for my life and for my future career, but I did not learn more understanding. In fact, not from those professors. I have more understanding than they do, and I will take the facts they taught and reject the interpretations and understanding they gave, and I will evaluate these facts in light of the Word. I have more understanding than they do. That first. The second application is a little closer to home, because the psalmist is speaking of those teachers in the sphere of the covenant. And so, young people and children, you are able to discern when somebody who is in authority over you, parent, teacher, other person in the covenant, is convinced of what he or she teaches. You're able to discern that by seeing whether his or her life matches his or her teaching. And if you see that there is in the sphere of the covenant a man or a woman who teaches you the right facts, but does not, by those facts, point you to Jesus Christ, and does not live his or her own life as though Jesus Christ is his or her Lord and Savior, then you can also say, with grief and sorrow, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Those of us who are teachers, and I mean not only teachers in some official sense, such as I or a Christian school teacher, those of us who are adults, those of us who are parents, who are grandparents, hear this and say, God, give me to teach understanding and demonstrate it in my life. The psalmist gives a reason why he says that he has more understanding. Both of the verses that we take as our text contain the reason, because we have parallelism going on. For thy testimonies are my meditation, and I keep thy precepts. Really, the psalmist is restating the same reality, only in verse 100, he's making it narrower than he made it in verse 99. You look at verse 99 and you say, I get that, I get that. Thy precept, thy testimonies are my meditation. The testimonies refers to the law of God. And the law of God in the Old Testament did not just regard the Ten Commandments, or even the Ten Commandments with the civil and the ceremonial laws, but really that concept of God's law in the Old Testament included all of Revelation, the whole Word of God. That word, the psalmist says, was a testimony, thy testimonies. What is a testimony? It's really the words that a witness speaks. You're in court. Somebody is bearing witness. He's giving a testimony. You're answering questions of a police officer about how that accident happened. You're giving a testimony. In his word, Jehovah gives us a testimony about himself. He bears witness to himself, not only to his existence, but also to everything about faith and worship that you and I must know, everything about him that matters to you and to me. And the psalmist says, I have meditated on those testimonies. I've mused on them. I studied the word. And I didn't just spend 15 minutes a day reading it, but I digested it. I thought about it throughout the day. Can you and I say that? Is that our regular practice, to take the Word of God, study it in depth, mull it over, go throughout the day saying, I read these verses this morning at the opening of the day, and I keep thinking of them, and they help me in ways I never imagined they would or saw I would need them to as I go throughout the day. The psalmist says, thy testimonies are my meditation. And you and I say, I can understand that that's a reason why he is wiser than his teachers. They either did not know the law in the Word of God, or knowing it in their head, did not mull it over, did not make it form their life, did not show in their life that it mattered to them. It was just a thing, and it was just knowledge. But it's a little harder for us to read the second reason, really a narrowing of the reason, in verse 100 and make sense of it, because I keep thy precepts. And now the psalmist is speaking more narrowly of that part of the word and revelation of God that consists of commands and of prohibitions. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And when he says, I've kept them, he means to say, when the Lord said, thou shalt, I did it. And when the Lord said, thou shalt not, I didn't do it. I refrained. He is not suggesting, you are aware of this. He's not suggesting his keeping of God's law was flawless, sinless, that he was righteous in himself, that he did not need the blood of Christ. He is not saying that. He is saying that in gratitude to God for the salvation given him in the Christ who would come, as he saw that Christ pictured in the sacrifices that the law required, in gratitude, he kept God's law. And he's saying that whereas there was a time when he went astray, and he found that a life of sin is vain and empty and meaningless, and he was converted and restored, he now keeps that law, not perfectly, not sinlessly, but genuinely, sincerely, and with a new beginning of obedience and a heart that loves God. And you understand that too. But is that your... is that my confession? Is the law of God for us just a thing to know? Or is it something to keep? And the word keep means more than just obey or do. It suggests there's a danger. Keep. Guard, watch over. There is a danger. And the danger is that we think of that law as being not important, not relevant. The danger is that Satan draws us away from that law, that others draw us away. I have kept thy precepts. I, aware of the danger, bring my cause to God in prayer and pray for strength, for grace, for preservation. Now that's clear enough. Here's the hard part. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. How do you explain that the keeping of God's precepts are the reason for his saying, I understand more? And of course, there's an explanation that you and I rule out immediately. We're good, solid, reformed people. We've been raised under reformed preaching and teaching. There is nothing meritorious. The psalmist is not saying that I kept and so I got something, but you know that. So I'm not going to expand on that one or elaborate on that one anymore. Some, so eager to distance themselves from that wrong idea of a works righteousness and a merit, say that what the psalmist is saying is, I understand more than the ancients, and here is the evidence. I keep thy precepts. That's the proof. But that's not what he says either. It's true. It's not a wrong idea, but it's not what he says. He says, I understand more than the ancients because I kept thy precepts. How do you explain the keeping of the law of God as a reason for understanding without implying merit? And the answer is, God does not look at what you know and how you live and compartmentalize them. There's things you know, there's things you must do. All of his revelation and all of our life, knowledge and action, heart and what my hands do and my tongue say, is organically one. Live in such a way that you show you love God. This is the basic principle. And you will find you love God more. Now, that's really not hard. That's not hard to understand. Every married couple, particularly every married couple who truly loves their spouse, finds this to be true in their relationship with each other. The more I work to understand my spouse, the more I'm ready to love him or her. But then it's a cycle. The more I love him or her, the more I understand. And the Lord is saying in the text, that's true of our relationship with God as well. If then you should say, I live unashamedly in violation of the fifth commandment of God's law, I think very lowly of my parents, then not only are you saying that the law of God does apparently not apply to you in that area, but you will also find that you despise authority. That's what you're doing already when you disobey your parents. Now continue living in violation of the fifth commandment, and you will find that you lose any understanding you may once have had about why God gives authority and how God is authority. Conversely, take the fifth commandment to heart. Respect all in authority over you, me, even in civil government. Honor them. If we can't obey them, still honor them. And you will find that you understand the sovereignty of God more deeply. To transgress repeatedly and continually the seventh commandment of the law of God, whether as a married couple committing adultery or before marriage committing fornication, is of course to say the seventh commandment doesn't really apply to me, or I'm just not going to worry about it. But now you also lose understanding if you're going to continue in such a life. And one thing you're going to lose the understanding of is the faithfulness of God to his covenant. Conversely, understand that your body is pure and holy, to be kept pure and holy before marriage and in marriage, and you will find that you grow deeper in your appreciation for a God who is faithful to us. That's the basic principle that the psalmist is setting forth here. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts, not my keeping gained, and not this is just the evidence of my understanding more, but because the law of God is part of the Word of God, and the Word of God matters to me. The more I meditate on it, the more I keep it, the more I understand. In the last days in which we live, you and I need the grace to say this. We need the grace to keep God's law, to meditate on his testimonies, that we might more deeply understand his word. In the last days in which we live, we would not expect the world. We never should have expected the world. But in these days, we do not expect the world to get better at imparting understanding. In the last days in which we live, we realize we will be reviled more and more for a life of godliness. But those who revile us show they do not understand. And you, young person, who will keep yourself holy, you do. You, ancient, mature person in the covenant, still dealing with temptation in our hearts and lives, keep the precepts, and you'll find you do understand more and more. Beware, beloved, the world's wisdom and the world's understanding. Seek God's. This is a confession that the psalmist makes. And in explaining it to be in confession, I want to do two things. Number one, say what then it is not. And number two, say wherein the power to make it is found. What is it not? This is not a boast. This is not a graduation speech text at the end of a year of learning. This is not what a child says when he sees that he knows something that his teacher didn't, or when he sees his teacher's mistakes. Though the teacher is a godly teacher who strives to impart understanding, but in this or that area showed his sinfulness or weakness or ignorance, this is not what the young person says. I have more understanding than my teacher. It's not a boast. For one thing, I said earlier in explaining the heart of the text, the psalmist set forth a sad reality. He was grieving. You don't boast and grieve at the same time. For another, he kept God's law, and boasting is not the keeping of God's law. When you and I make this confession, we are not boasting, which means then that the tone of our voice and the thought of our heart is not, ha ha, how great I am, but is, how sad. Thanks to God that I have this understanding. How sad that others do not. And then secondly, this is a confession of grace. Because the psalmist himself was the object of the grace of God. He was himself depraved, and now he's alive in Christ. He was a fool, and now he understands the Scriptures. He had been preserved. Besides, that grace that gives us understanding is a grace that is given continually so that we understand more and more deeply. The psalmist was the object of God's grace. Are you? Do you know that your sins are forgiven in Christ? Do you know, and you'd be ready to confess it, that the life of Jesus Christ lives in you, the sanctifying Spirit dwells in your heart, then you too are the object of this grace and able to make the confession, and even the making of it is by grace. Point of the psalmist acknowledging the sad reality that there were in the sphere of the covenant around him some who did not understand, was thanking God. Though he grieved at their lack or paucity of understanding, thanking God for what he had given the psalmist. We live in an evil world. Sin shows itself in the Church of Jesus Christ too. It becomes our nature to say, I guess that's norm. That's the norm. I will go along with it. And we show ourselves to be fools. Or we say, I will keep God's precepts. His testimonies will be my meditation. I have understanding. Thanks be to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us not only to hear this word, but now, if need be, to repent of our own folly, to seek to understand more and more, and to live in accordance with thy will and precepts. In the week ahead, when tempted to disobey, give us to understand that in disobeying, we would say of all we've been taught by parents and by teachers and by others, that it doesn't matter to us. But by obeying, even if we're made fun of, we would be telling the world that thou art our friend. And to know thee in Jesus Christ is to have eternal life, and we prize that precious gift. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.